welcome to the Hooked on Health podcast. I am your host, Dr. Sean Lorden. I am the author of Stop Aging in Its Tracks and the owner of Concierge Physical Therapy, a sports medicine physical therapy practice with multiple locations in Massachusetts. Please sit back and enjoy the show.
Here today with us is Dr. Brandon Smolarek, and he is a local chiropractor doing wonderful things. And Dr. Brandon, can you give us a little, you know, background on yourself and in your practice and all that great stuff?
Sure. I'm, again, like you said, my name's Dr. Brandon Smolarek. I'm a chiropractor in Shrewsbury, Massachusetts. I'm originally from Michigan, but made my way out here for hockey and then college, and, you know, met my wife in Boston. We ended up out here in Worcester, and you know how the story goes. Went to the University of Bridgeport College of Chiropractic, now School of Chiropractic, for my chiropractic degree. And that's where I, you know, really fell in love with the idea of blending sports science in with family medicine. And after graduating from the university, I came up here to Central Mass. I worked with a provider locally for a year, and then joined a larger group and got started on my own. So we opened up the practice in Shrewsbury in 2021 in June. And since then, after getting it rolling by myself for a year, over the summer, I renovated the office. We brought on another chiropractor, and we are officially the chiropractors for the Worcester Railers and for Holy Cross Athletics.
Love to hear that.
It's been a busy summer.
It has been a busy summer for Dr.
Brandon. Slash fall now. It's, you know, fall now.
Yeah. I mean, almost winter.
Yeah, basically. It's going to snow today.
Give people an idea, because I feel like, you know, a lot of people don't realize how long, like what your schooling entails.
Yeah, absolutely. So I did, as customary for a lot of people who end up in health careers, I did my 4 years of undergraduate within the realms of the sciences, got a four-year degree in biology at Suffolk University. And then from there, you go into chiropractic college, which depending on the school you go to is either 3.25 years or 4 years. The only difference is that a lot of schools do trimesters instead of semesters, where they go straight through the summertime, where I picked the four-year program because I wanted the summer to have the opportunity to do internships and work in offices and see what I like. So that's where I got introduced initially to sports science, working at Khalsa Chiropractic in Boston over one of my summers. They're the chiropractors for Harvard and the Bruins and the Celtics and Patriots. So, you know, they have a pretty good grasp of how to do things with professional sports. And, you know, I'm just trying to emulate, you know, what I learned there and put my own spin on it here in Massachusetts.
Yeah, that's great.
Central Massachusetts.
Central Mass. Yeah. So we work really well together, Brandon, and I know, you know, specifically with my Shrewsbury office, it's a great, you know, cross referral pattern. So really my first question, and this is one, again, geared toward our listeners who are, you know, patients, how, in your eyes, how do you see our two professions working together, and what do you think are the pros to our, you know, the relationship between a chiropractor and a PT?
I think broad scope is that we've seen time and time again through research that multimodal care is always, you know, best for patient outcomes. So I really like having the referral network with Concierge Physical Therapy for a couple of reasons. One, I know, you know, after speaking with you and the providers that are there, everyone there knows their salt pretty well, which is great. So, but in regards to chiropractic and physical therapy working together, you have two professions that are very well in the trenches with neuromusculoskeletal care, having a slightly different approach as to how to go about it. So for instance, I take the notion of joint mobility with the mechano and nociceptive and proprioceptive input being caused to dysfunction when disrupted, causing, you know, improper muscle firing, where some physical therapists may take the opposite approach, where maybe it's more so the muscle imbalance. Now I hate using that word, the poor muscle firing. So, you know, I don't want to put words in your mouth with how, you know, you guys do with your things of physical therapy or at Concierge Physical Therapy. I know that, you know, my conversations with a couple of your PTs there have always been, you know, pretty on par, but it's great to have two people or two groups that have a very similar thought process of care, but slightly different approaches to achieve whatever that patient's goal is.
Yeah, and I think too, for our listeners and for patients out there, you know, chiropractor, you know, and you included, and I think, you know, the muscle imbalance or the, you know, rotations and this and that, you know, there's, and we talk about research and, you know, it's just the difference between even myself and some of my providers that work at concierge, like it are, we call this like inter-rater or how we're going to relate it among ourselves. You know, what we see is drastically different sometimes when we're looking at a human body. So if you could talk about that, that'd be awesome. Just because, you know, I think, you know, and kind of talking in that patient friendly language, like, you know, we want to make sure that we fix the pain first, right? So that's, you know, huge for us. And we address that. And then, you know, and then beyond that, we want to get people moving, right? And that means flexibility, really talking about getting them back to what they love to do now that they're pain free. And, you know, and what does that involve? And, you know, that's, to me, it's a total body approach. And I feel like that's why we connect so well, Brandon, is because you look at things really through a similar lens. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, you hit a lot of my high points there. I think first and foremost, it's what are the patient's goals that come into the office? Because if they're coming in because their back hurts and they can't, you know, work, that's one thing. And if their other thing is, you know, working with athletics, their goal is more, you know, performance based. And obviously you have kind of a different treatment approach going in. But the other thing that you touched on was, you know, even within your own office, you can have people see the same thing and have a slightly different take on it, which I think is important because working in, you know, healthcare period, but very much more so neuromusculoskeletal or musculoskeletal medicine, i.e., you know, physical therapy, chiropractic, it's a really relative gray area. So what I might see with, you know, a sacrum that's rotating or not rotating through, you know, a hip hinge or something like that, versus you coming in and seeing maybe something slightly different is ultimately, you know, going to help the patient more because it gives them more options as to what they can do to help improve whatever it is their goals are.
Right. I mean, they don't care what we see. They just want to feel better.
Exactly. Right.
You know, and I think that's where, you know, our communication is huge because, mm-hmm. and we can talk about this too a little bit. I know we had some questions lined up here, but you know, the 50-year-old, you know, sciatica patient or the 50-plus-year-old low back degenerative disc disease has a little bit of flexion and extension pain. Like, talk to me, walk me through that and, you know, and how you approach that and, you know, where you see, you know, your relationship with us, you know, as a benefit to our patients, our shared
care. Yeah. And I mean, I can go through a couple instances where I did use you guys as, you know, a resource for a couple patients that, you know, they come in with whether or not it's a hot disc or a stuck SI joint or some rib dysfunction. And, you know, I give them what I think my best approach is to care. Some people just don't respond to the way that you expect them to respond to things. So I know I had a patient who came in with a hot disc and my goal with care was, we know that the disc is the pain generating tissue. We know that discs typically repair and extension. So let's take them through the McKenzie extension protocol, which is just certain stretches and exercises to try to get the right load into the disc to help the disc get that nutrients that it needs to help repair and take it from there. And unfortunately, sometimes it doesn't go the way that you'd hope that it would. So I know I sent them to Dr. Mariel over at your facility and, you know, the slightly different variation of approach with the core stability, hip mobility, as well as, you know, tuning up the muscles of the hips that need to be tuned up a little bit more, ended up resulting in better results than the load base, which I've had work for other patients in the past. So it's, again, the relative gray area that we live in where you can do all the things right by the book and find that, you know, maybe that's not just going to help for this one person in front of you that day, which is why I like now having another provider in my office, because, you know, it gives you another set of eyes who can go about it a little bit different way, as well as working with the physical therapy group that we do work with to ultimately try to get the patients back on their feet and moving again.
Yeah. And I think, you know, pain medicine has a role in that too. Right. And I think you know, a lot of people come to us from their primary cares or from physiatry or from orthopedics and, you know, they may not have experience with low back pain, or they may not have been, given much education, you know, about low back pain and, you know, how important it is to come in and see us like as soon as possible if you have a bent twist or,
yeah.
You know, and again, I mean, you know, and it, I personally have had low back pain. I've had, you know, symptoms and it's not always, you know, a mechanism, right? It's not always right. A bend and a twist and a pop. Sometimes you just, you know, for me, I can share anecdotally that I was painting a house and the repetitive motion of that, you know, really set my back off for mm-hmm. a few days. And fortunately, I'm, you know, I know what to do. And, you know, I was able to kind of self treat a little bit, but many people in my situation would have just taken ibuprofen and just, you know, tried to, you know, look it up on YouTube. And to right. that, you know, what would you say to that?
Well, one, pain is often not a sign of tissue damage to start. So just because something is incredibly painful doesn't mean that there's a lot of extensive damage in there that is a reason to not move. But two, the inflammatory process has its role in care because that's how our body repairs. So if you start to inhibit that inflammatory process, you're not giving your body the ultimate, you know, the upper hand in getting back to where it needs to be. And also, I've seen some gnarly stuff on YouTube. Like YouTube is not a filtered system of evidence-based care. And even there are a lot of good things on YouTube as well. But those good things need direction. And, you know, you go on because your back hurts and you click on things that are, you know, helpful for back pain. And, you know, you have a stuck SI joint and this is telling you to load an extension. Like, I don't think that that's probably going to feel very good trying to do that. So the educational piece that comes with it through the physical therapy office and through the chiropractic office, I think are important as well. And that's why, you know, when patients come into my door and I'm sure coming into your door as well, the home exercises that they get are directed toward their care so that they can see a video of whatever it is that they need to do at home and not just be left to searching things on their own.
Yeah. And so that kind of leads me into my next question for you. So, you know, a common diagnosis that we see, Brandon, is sciatica, right? Mm-hmm. So sciatica patient walks into your office, you know, no matter what age, what recommendations like do you give for that? And I'm talking about, you know, I shouldn't really just say sciatica because, you know, sure. Obviously we know how misdiagnosed, you know, piriformis syndrome or sciatica could be, but mm-hmm. you know, let's just talk about like radicular pain. So sure. For the audience, that means any pain that goes down your leg, you know, that's coming from the low back. And talk to us about like, you know, two or three, you know, I guess pearls for patients that, you know, they can do, or, you know, so you, like kind of how you look at sciatica and how you treat sciatica.
Yeah. I mean, if we're going with true sciatic pain, my favorites are always some form of nerve mobilization. So trying to move the nerve within its canal to try to, you know, theoretically get rid of any sort of impingement that's happening along that track. And those are simple exercises where you move your leg in a certain direction with your head incorporated into it to try to get some more mobility in that, you know, tethered to that canal again, in theory. But as you said, with, you know, sciatic symptoms, there are a lot of, you know, misdiagnoses with piriformis syndrome as well. So it depends on what's going on. If this is a true sciatica, I start get some ice on the area to try to mitigate the pain receptor or the pain sensations that's going on. Do some form of nerve mobilization, whether or not it's modified based off of toleration, because I have seen that, you know, going into a nerve floss right away with something that's really inflamed may not feel the best. So taking things lightly and, you know, most importantly, try to keep moving as you're going through it, because we know that pain, again, is not a sign of tissue damage. It's important to keep moving, but of course in moderation, depending on what kind of pain you're experiencing.
Yeah. And so that's where, you know, the value of a healthcare professional comes in. And, you know, where I know I can speak for PT that we're direct access, which means you mm-hmm. can come to us direct off the street. And I believe you guys are too, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
So that means for the audience that, you know, you don't have to go to your primary care before you come see us. So, you know, even if you don't have an established relationship with our office or, you know, any PT's office or any chiropractor's office, you can go ahead and give them a call. And as long as they're, you know, credentialed to your insurance, you should be good to go. So that leads me into my next question. So manipulation, right?
Yes.
So, you know, and I feel like sometimes I manipulate For sciatica, sometimes I don't, and you know, I don't really use the word sciatica too often because,
right,
almost like it's just an overused thing in medicine. And you know, we get a ton of referrals for sciatica that's really just radicular pain, or it's a nerve impingement, peripheral, or otherwise. You know, and I typically treat the whole path of, you know, the nerve, but with different nerve glides. But if you really wanted to dial in and get specific with it, you could be more specific with your nerve glides. That was a little down a tangent there, but you know, I think talk to people about the active manipulation and the cracking, right? So sure. first touch on people like self-manipulating their necks and their backs, and then talk about how you do it. And you know, is it painful for people? Is it something that people are there any contraindications? Walk us through that.
Sure. So let's kind of take it from, you know, step one. So the whole thought process is that joints get stuck. And when joints get stuck, they can cause pain signals to happen because that's how they communicate with the body. And when pain signals start to occur, you occasionally can get muscle spasms in certain areas. So what I use is some form of manipulation, whether or not it's a manipulation or a mobilization, to try to reestablish that motion in that specific joint segment that needs it. Now, that cracking noise that you hear isn't exactly a crack that's happening, like nothing's breaking. What's actually happening is you're taking a joint that is a fluid-filled sac that lives in a vacuum. So nothing gets into this area, nothing gets out of this area. So what we're doing is we're stretching that joint segment quickly to try to reestablish range of motion. Well, if you stretch a vacuum quickly and nothing is getting in, nothing's getting out while you're creating space, something has to happen in that space. So the noise that you're actually hearing is a gas bubble forming out of solution. Now that often is associated with increased range of motion, decrease in pain, increase in awareness of that area, as well as a couple other, you know, anecdotal things that you can find with it. So that's the popping noise that you hear.
Cascade. That's my the endogenous opioid cascade. That's my favorite overused term, probably.
Yeah, it's there are
words for our listeners, it's less pain.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Now, most often, again, we work in a gray area, so not everyone responds the way that you'd expect. But most often, people find, especially in my office, because I'm a chiropractor, and people very much associate, you know, chiropractors with the manipulation procedures, is that it feels relatively nice. Most people, you know, it is a kind of an odd motion, but the end result is usually a nice, you know, increase in motion, decrease in pain sensation. Now, for my first timers that come in, I often don't manipulate on the, if this is their first time in a chiropractic office, I'll do what's more called a mobilization, which is where you take the joint into its end range of motion and then give it a light pressure to try to stretch that softly. So it's a little less of a quick motion, but still trying to achieve the same thing, often not associated with the popping noises. So I try to meet everybody where they're at. So if someone, you know, is their first time in, they're nervous, they're not exactly comfortable with the stuff that we're going through, that's okay. We're going to take it easy. We're going to try to get more mobility out of it. And if we gain comfort and we want to give it a try, great. I often find that it helps. But if, you know, we're getting results with the mobilizations, and you know, why be more aggressive if you don't need to be?
Yeah. And I think that's really important. You know, you touched on meeting people where they're at, right? And I think that's so important. And a healthcare practitioner and a good healthcare practitioner is just the act of listening, right? And we, you know, when you really get skilled with your hands, you can feel when people aren't comfortable, and you know, you're just not going to get the results. And you know, some patients really are trying to relax, and they just can't do it. And I'm sure that, you know, you've had your fair share of those folks. But you know, if we can get the cavitation or the pop, you know, the research really does show that that's you want to get that active cavitation, because that's really what's associated with the best outcomes in terms of so that's great. But
but at the same time too, though, is if you know you're fighting through someone who's tensing up as you're going through it, is the cavitation worth, you know, punching through a trap that's, you know, rock solid right now because they're nervous? So as being a chiropractor, like I do try to go for those cavitations because there are more benefits that come with it. But you know, again, we meet people where they're at, whatever is going to be best for them at that time.
Which is great, you know, because we never want, we don't want people to feel uncomfortable, and we don't want people to, you know, and again, we don't want to be fighting for, you know, you don't want to fight for the Manip. It should just happen.
That's right.
So let's talk about other options for people for low back pain, you know, as we kind of wrap here. I think, you know, one of the things, even, you know, for my providers, I always say, you know, we work really closely with you guys. Another common question is, do I need surgery? Do I need a cortisone shot? What are my other options? So when do you refer to those specialties? And how, you know, what are your, if I miss anything, you know, shockwave, we do
yeah, sure.
thing. What else have you seen that works, or, you know, gels and, you know, I don't, you know, I'm interested to hear what you think about all that stuff.
My patients have really been into the rock sauce recently, which is just the capsaicin and methanol, which, you know, seems to be really enjoyable for a lot of people. But my approach as a conservative care practitioner is I always go from most conservative to least conservative. So mm-hmm. I find that and of course it depends on the patient's goals. Like if the patient's in the off season right now and they got, you know, a professional season coming up in the next couple of months, you know, maybe we're not going to do acupuncture or dry needling for this. And maybe we'll go to something a bit more invasive just so you can start training and stuff like that. But for my weekend warrior that comes in, if, you know, if I'm doing my hands on stuff and their goals aren't being met, usually my next step is likely sending them to Sean or to Dr. Lorden at, you know, concierge for some dry needling or whatever you deem necessary. I often find that that's a little bit more of an aggressive thing of reinstating the inflammatory response, which is what we're trying to do in the office. If that's not working, I try to push patients more towards PRP or what's known as plasma-rich protein, which is a next invasive procedure, but less invasive than a corticosteroid, where it's not as much of a degenerative process. However, there's not a lot of research for it yet because it is kind of a newer modality. So it's not something that's going to be, you know, the silver bullet that people are looking for. So you give that with a decent amount of knowledge behind it too. So if that from there, they're not seeing the results, that's typically when I'm starting to talk with my pain management specialists about maybe doing some form of corticosteroid. And if that's not working, we talk about, you know, depending on what they're coming in for, if we're going in for, you know, some sort of operation that happens. But the operations are usually last line defense. They're not something that you want to start with because they don't have good outcomes when you start with an invasive procedure. They have better outcomes if you try the conservative models and then those don't work. That's usually when you find that your operations are your best choice.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's great advice for our audience, you know, and I think, you know, and this is, you know, we may be, you know, we have to say that, you know, we may be a little biased because we are conservative care providers, right. But there was a lot of research that, you know, let's just talk about laminectomies. So for the audience, a laminectomy is where they just kind of, you know, create more space, right? So if you have stenosis, you know, bone on bone, so to speak, arthritis in your back, you know, the doctors will go in and create more space for your bones to move, right? And the research shows that at 5 years, you know, after a laminectomy or just having conservative care PT, the outcomes are the same in terms of pain levels. So, you know, really what I suggest is to go get that surgical opinion. I think that's important. If we've hit a wall, it's been 6 months or a year, and you've seen Brandon, you've seen, you know, our physiatry, our pain management partners, and you've hit a wall and you're still having those symptoms or foot drop or something neurological, you know, go for it, go talk to the surgeon, you know, but that's always sort of a last step for me personally, you know, and, you know, really, you know, at our practice, because I look at that as a loss, you know, as a conservative care provider. And, you know, and the same thing for us. So, you know, we do acupuncture, we try to stimulate an inflammatory response to try to get people out of the chronic phase of healing and bring some blood flow and angiogenesis or, you know, blood flow to the area. We've also got shockwave at concierge. I've got to use it on you at some point, so you know what it feels like. I don't know. Have you ever had it done?
I had it done before. My soleus as just, you know, at a convention, and you know, the guy's like, "Hey, you want to try this out?" And he threw it on my calf real quick, and I was like, "That hurt."
Was it
hurt because training? I'll say again. I'm sorry.
Was it a focus machine or a radial machine?
It was a focus machine. And yeah. It hurt because I was nervous for it. And I think that even if he put it on its lowest setting and, you know, breathed on me, I probably still would have said it hurt. So I think that one's more on me, but I am interested in trying the Shockwave. Cold laser is also a good one. Warm laser is also a good one as well. I do actually have a disagreement with you there though, Sean, and I don't know if this happens very often, but I don't look at it as a loss. If, you know, the patient comes into our doors, we give them our best efforts over the course of 6 months to a year, and yeah, they don't achieve their goals. I think that we can put our, you know, put our hat down at the end of the day and say, I gave you our best. The likelihood of the operation helping you now is a lot greater than what it was when you first started with me. So I think that this is now your best, you know, your best approach going forward. And, you know, ultimately you're giving that patient the track they need. You saw them through the care, you helped coordinated it, you know, you gave them everything they needed to get better. And, you know, here we are, this is the next step.
Yeah. And I think that's where, you know, and I wouldn't say that it happens rarely, because it does happen, right? Sure. You know, so in some cases.
Had it happen this week, actually.
And I maybe it's not the word loss, you know, I think maybe for me, it's sort of like, oh, like, and I feel like as a, you know, and again, as a conservative care practitioner, you always look back and say, hey, you know, could I have done anything to help manage that plan differently? You know, and I think those are the moments where, you know, of course, like, is there anything I probably could have done differently? Probably not. Was there maybe something that they did, or they had, you know, maybe there's modifiable risk factors like smoking and drinking and, you know, you know, even age and, you know, lifestyle, like, you know, lifestyle habits, nutrition, things like this, they all play into, you know, they're all concomitant with low back pain, or they play into, you know, how low back pain can potentially affect your life, you know, and then we don't even have time to talk about depression and, you know, how that's really, you know, rampant with low back pain too, but, and how that can affect outcomes. But I think, you know, I wouldn't, you know, I think, and that's a great point, Brandon, is, you know, I guess I don't really see it as a loss. I see it as an opportunity to reflect on how, you know, potentially, you know, what could we have done differently to maybe not go down the surgical route? But to your exact point, you're not going to win them all, right? Yep. You're not going to fix everybody. And I think that's where, you know, that's why I do this. That's why I love what I do. And that's why, I love, you know, being a PT, is that I do feel as though, I just, you know, we do our best to try to fix everybody. We're healers, you know, that's our job at heart. And, you know, that's why finding these, you know, partnerships with, you know, PT and chiropractic partnership, it needs to happen more often. And I feel like sometimes, well, actually, you know, I feel like I've always had great relationships with chiropractors in you know, in my area, but, you know, going through school, they always, you know, at Northeastern, they was, oh, well, the chiropractor's this, or the, you know, massage therapist that, or, you know, and people, you know, back in the 80s and 90s had their different, you know, voices on it. And I think that if we can come together and just put the patient first and offer a great product between the two of us, there's, you know, there's no need to compete for, you know, for people or for patients. I think that's
didn't low back pain get the most common cause of disability in the United States this past year? Yeah. Uh-huh. I don't think competition for patients is a problem. The patients are very much there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, one thing that I love about your facility, and I hope that you see in our facility, is that when you walk through the door, you're going to get the best effort, no matter who you are, what you're dealing with, all that stuff. And that's why I continue to send patients your way, because I know that's going to happen.
Yeah, you know, and that's likewise,
what
likewise,
you can do at the end of the day.
Yeah, likewise with you guys. And, you know, and a lot of times I think, you know, just that extra attention to, you know, and to use your words again, to meeting people where they are, you know, to listening and really being, you know, just really dialing into to what their needs are that day. You know, I think that that's really, you know, the psychological component of it is huge. You know, a lot of people have other things happening in their lives, you know, and as providers, you know, by nature, we're busy, you know, and I think taking that extra time, which, you know, you guys do at your office, Brandon, is huge, to just, you know, listen and just be present with people is just, you know,
that's why we spend more than 5 minutes with our patients. That's why we do a half hour visits with our patients.
Yeah. And that's, you know, and that's, you know, for the audience, that's unheard of, right? That doesn't exist in the chiropractic world today. And, you know, this isn't just a local audience either, Brandon. Like, these are people, you know, there's people from all over listening to this. But if you're ever in the area, you got to seek out Dr. Brandon. He's going to practice in Shrewsbury, Massachusetts. And any other parting advice you'd like to give our audience today, Brandon?
Move more and see Dr. Sean when you need him.
And I would say move more and see Dr. Brandon. Dr. Brandon, thanks so much for coming on today, and really appreciate your time. And you know, I think one thing that I learned today is, you know, that, you know, and I want the audience to take from this is that, you know, you really want to pick, choose your healthcare team wisely. And it's important to know that you can go directly to your local PT or your local chiropractor and, you know, and ask them questions, ask them who they think that you should be seeing with them, right? So whether that's nutrition, whether that's, you know, another PCP or a pain management person they like, ask them of who else they should be seeing, and form your own team of doctors. I think that's really important.
I think it's a great piece of advice.
And well, with that, I will say thank you, and really appreciate your time, Dr. Brandon.
It was a pleasure to be on. Thank you for having me. You know where to find me if you need anything, and I look forward to catching up with you soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks again for joining us for this week's Hooked on Health podcast. Please check out our website in the link below. Whether you're listening on Spotify or on our page, you can reach me personally by email for more information.